Good morning, everybody. Let's begin. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal pointed out that there is a fundamental machlokes regarding smicha. Baruch Hashem, in our yeshiva, we receive smicha, but it is not the smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu on down. It is a good smicha, of course, but it's not the smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Yeshua and Antal. That smicha was nullified and stopped. Rambam writes in the Sanhedrin in Pirkei Avot Lechid Aleph that we could restart smicha b'zman hazeh. If all the chachamim in Eretz Yisrael elected one rav, then he could give smicha to everyone else. This was a big machlokes between the Rabbanim in Tzfat and the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim. They wanted to elect the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef Karl, the Shulchan Aruch, to restart Smicha. And the Rabbanim in Tzfat wanted to elect him. The Rabbanim in Yerushalayim were not maskim. It's a big machlokes between the Ma'ariv B'Rav and the Kuntres HaSmicha. It all depends how to be masber the Rambam. The Rambam writes you need Kol HaChachamim. So the Rabbanim in Tzfat were the Rov. So they said, we're the Rov. So since we're the Rov, let's start Smicha again. And the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim said, you need Kol. And we're part of the Kol, and we're the minority. But even though we're not a minority, we're not masking. And therefore, they were not able to restart Smicha. One of the reasons why they tried to restart Smicha is the last Mishnah in Makkah says that if Rachman al-Itzlan, someone is Chayiv Karis, and they receive Malkus in this world before their Nifter, then they will not receive Karis. And therefore, Malkus can only be given by a Beis Din, the Dayanim have Smicha. Therefore, that was one of the motivating factors why they wanted to restart Smicha. And as I mentioned, it never got off the ground. So, we have a big machloikis, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, and this is how we want to relate it, is as to what the Hagdara, what the nature of Smicha is. What is its function? Tyson Yevamis has a very important kasha where he asks, how bizman is that when Mikabel Gerim? Tosus assumes we need smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu on down, and we don't have the smicha nowadays. So how is it shaykh that we can be Mikabel Gerim bizman hazeh halacha l'maisa without smicha? This is what Tosus asks in Meseches Yevamis on Daf Mevov, Daf Mem Zayin. Strong kasha. So Tosin Yevamah says the following answer. Shlichusayu kov dinin. The rabbis of today are shluchim of the rabbis of old. The rabbis of old had smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. The rabbis of today do not. But nonetheless, the rabbis of old were mochel on the kavod that is due to them. And even the rabbanim today, even though they're not on the same stature, they can be mekabel gerim bizman hazeh. And the Nesivus writes in Choshen Mishpat, this shows very clearly that the topic of Shlichusayu Kov Dini is in fact a Din D'Oraisa. Otherwise, how could Gerim be Jewish Midiraisa? So we assume we have Gerim Bizman Hazeh, they're Jewish Midiraisa. And you see from Tosfos that in order to have a Beis Din, there are certain elements and components and ingredients that you need. And Tosfos clearly writes, to have a Beis Din, you need that Dayanim to have smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu on down. And if they do not have smicha, then it's not called a Beis Din. That's why Tosfos has to stand on his head and say that the way we have Gerim Bizman Hazeh D'Oraisa is because Shlichusayu was a D'Oraisa. But Tosfos held clearly that the premise that we're discussing today is, the premise is that smicha is a component of a Beis Din. That's the Chiddush that Tosfos writes in Meseches Yevamis. And that's what the Rav Zatzal said, Tosfos's approach to smicha is that it's an element of Beis Din. If you look in the Rambam, the Rav said the Rambam is a completely different approach. The Rambam writes that the Beis Din for Geiris Bizman Hazeh does not need to have smicha. It doesn't need smicha at all. The Rambam writes the Beis Din are just hedyotos. They should be Talmidei Chachamim. But they do not have to have smicha for Moshe Rabbeinu on down. There is no necessity at all, none whatsoever. Hedyotos suffice. And the Rav said, you know why? Because the Rambam holds that smicha has nothing to do with the configuration of Beis Din, but rather smicha is a license to paskin. Just like a doctor cannot practice medicine if he doesn't have smicha, a lawyer can't practice law without a license, so too a psak of a rav is meaningless al pi halacha unless he has smicha, he has no chalois. The Rambam writes, when the dayanim are there for geiris, do they paskin? They don't paskin. Okay, they might have to measure whether the fellow's sincere or not, but their presence is needed for the mila, for going to mikveh, but they don't have to register up sock. So since their function is not paskining in the context of geiris, therefore there is no need to have smicha. Sometimes based in paskin, dinim omenis b'shlosha, first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Beis Din has to pass that Mr. X wins, Mr. Y loses. That's a psak. But when their presence alone is needed, therefore you shouldn't need smicha. Because the Rav said the Rama holds no. Tosis against Tosis. Tosis holds that smicha is an ingredient, a component of Beis Din. The Rama writes, no, it's not true. Smicha is a license to paskin. It has nothing to do with the Beis Din. And if Beis Din Taka is not paskining, then you don't need smicha. Memeile writes the Rambam that hedotos suffice when it comes to games. Let us quote now four other Rambams that the Rav proved that smicha is a license to paskin and has nothing to do with the Beis Din. Number one, Rambam writes Rambam writes Beferish. The following din, I'm not sure if they have it here in the Mar Mekaymus, but let us mention the four Rambams. I don't think they put it in the Mar Mekaymus, actually. Actually, it is. If you take a look, 11, 12, and 13, we'll say them outside, though. Says the Rambam that if you have a shaila in Taras Mishpochet, of Aksomen, or let's say Kashrus, the Rambam writes, the Rav you go to needs smicha. Now, if you have a shayla in kashrus a taras mishpochet, you go to a Beis Din? No, you go to an individual Rav. So therefore, the Rav says, see clearly, smicha has nothing to do with Beis Din, but it's a license to paskin. That's number one Rambam. Number two, the Rambam writes, the din of a Zaken Mamre. A Zaken Mamre is a rebellious rabbi who's asked a shayla, let's say he lives in Tel Aviv somewhere, Aaron Yitzhak, anywhere it could be, Cologne, wherever you want to, whatever city you want to choose. He doesn't know the answer. He goes up to Shalayim. The Beis Din HaGadol says, this is the Psak. He goes home, and it dawns upon him what the Psak is. And his Psak is against the Sanhedrin HaGadol. What does it say in Chumash? It says, we execute such a Rav. Is it Zaken Mamre? Now Rashi writes, you cannot be a Zaken Mamre unless you're 40 or older. But the Rambam writes different. The Rambam writes that you cannot have a Zaken Mamre unless the Rav had smicha. If the Rav doesn't have smicha, it's like a joke. It's like the rookie league against the major leagues. You're not putting in jeopardy a Sanhedrin HaGadol. It has to be a Rav who has chashuv. So if the Rav has no smicha, his psak is not a psak. Memeile, it's not putting in jeopardy the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And therefore the Rambam writes, again, this is an individual Rav, and the Rambam invokes the usage of smicha. So Nochamol, you see the Rav said in the Rambam, that smicha is a license to paskin. Has nothing to do with a Beis Din. That's a second Rambam. Number three, we assume Ladina, based on the Mishnah Sanhedrin, on that Beis, that when smicha was given, they had to give smicha, and the Sefer Ashtaris, remember Rav Ronsu actually to point it out to us. The Sefer Ashtaris of Rishon, the Rav used to put, in the times of the Rishon, used to put his hand on the Talmud's head, like Moshe Rabbeinu did by Yehoshua. We don't do that nowadays. But the Mishnah says when they gave smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu on down, he used to give smicha in front of a Beis Din. The Rav would give smicha in the Talmud in front of a Beis Din. And the Rav has a strange meaning. Only one of those three dayanim needs smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. Only one of the three, not all three. Why? The Brisker Rav says, I'll tell you why. Because they're not paskin.
Their presence alone is seen, is needed for the smicha to be endowed in a Buran's Talmud. So since they're not asking the way you speak before, why do you need only one of the three? Because you need the chain that you continue. That's a third round, where the Rambam, you see clearly from the Rambam, that smicha is a license to paskin. And when they're not paskining, you don't need smicha.
And lastly, number four, a fourth Rambam. The Rambam paskins by hodos v'halvos. Rambam holds ladinit by admissions and by loans. The Gemara writes in the beginning of Sanhedrin that chad nami kosher, that one dime is sufficient for admissions and loans. And the Orsameach, the great Gaon, Remeir Medvinsk, paskins lohalochit, that the Rambam holds like the Rabbeinu Hanano, that that chad dayin, one dayin is good for odos and levos, Achabari Reikin. One dayin is sufficient, that one dayin needs smichin. Why does he need smichin? Because he's paskining. This is against other Rishonim. It's against other Rishonim, who argue and say the chad nami doesn't need smichin. But the Orsameach claims in the Rambam, Rabbeinu Manoach held there was no smichin. But the Rabbeinu Orsameach says that the Rambam holds like Rabbeinu Chanan, the Chad Nami needs smicha. Why does the Chad Nami need smicha? Because he's paskening. He's paskening. Does Mr. X owe money? Did he admit that he owes money? That's registering a psak. When you register a psak, you need to have smicha. You have to have that license to pasken. And therefore, the Rambam writes, Hodos v'avos, one dayan is sufficient, but that one dayan needs smicha. So this is a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos, as to what the Geder Adin, the godless of Soledetra Tzatzal. What is the Hagdar of Smicha? What are you accomplishing when you endow Smicha? The Netziv writes, the Rebbe is being misfollowed that the Talmud should have Siyata Nishmai when he passes. But the Rav said it's a fundamental machlokes what Smicha is. According to Tosfos, it has nothing to do with a psak. It has to do with the configuration of a Beis Din. There are many qualifications, prerequisites a Beis Din needs. They have to sit, the Edim stand, the Dayanim sit, right? Bisman HaGemara, they had a Tifah, they wore Talesim. There are many prerequisites. One of the prerequisites to have a Beis Din, that configuration is that Dayanim Asmicha. It has nothing to do with an individual Rav. That's why Tosfos says that Geiris is only Shaykh Bizman Azeh, because the truth of the matter is, it would only be Shaykh if we have Shlichusayu, because we don't have the real Smicha. Shlichusayu is a Din D'oraisa. According to the Rambam, that Kasha doesn't start. You don't have to have Smicha, you can have commoners, Hedyotos for a Geiris. Okay, they should be versed in the Dinim, because they're not Paskinim. It's interesting, there are 2 days in Tosfos Nevamos. We all know there's a din of chalitza. Rachmana Litzlan, if a husband's married to a wife and he dies without kids, so the halacha is that the surviving brother does yibum. Nowadays we don't do yibum, we do chalitza. So in order to have chalitza be done, she has to remove his shoe, she has to spit in front of him, and you need a beis din. It's a big machlokes in Tanaim. How many dayanim you need? Three, you need five. So we pass the mikra din, you have three. But lepersume milsa, to publicize that the woman is chalutza, you put two dayanim on a right angle. You have the three dayanim sit here, and you have two dayanim sit here on the side. To publicize the fact that there's a chalutza. Rashi gives two reasons in the Yevamos. One is you want to tell the Kohanim that she's a chalutza, and she's usher to marry them. It's a shaila whether it's the Rabban or the Yeraisa, steering Rashi's and Makis, Rashi and Ksubis, whether a chalutza is muteris l'koyin. And then there's another reason why you publicize this chalutza. What's the other reason? The other reason is you want to tell the Israel, hey, Levine, now she's looking to get married. But there is a concept called Beis Din Shakel. What's Beis Din Shakel mean? You cannot have an even number Beis Din. So Tosfos asks, why do you have to have an odd number Beis Din by chalutza? The only reason why you have an odd number Beis Din is because you don't want to have a deadlock in a vote. But if they're not paskening, if their presence alone is needed, why do you need an odd number? So Tosfos writes in Yevamos as follows. Because every time a chalitza is done, or any time Beis Din does a Din Torah, they're paskening on shilas in the Gemara. Can you do it on the right foot? What kind of shoe?
To that degree, Tosa stands on his head and says, yes, they are poskim. That's why you need an odd number.
That's what Tosas writes in the first Teretz, in Yevamos on Kuf Aleph and Aleph. Then Tosas says a second Teretz and says, no, any Beis Din, no matter what they're doing, whether they're poskening, or whether they are what? Whether they're poskening, or whether their presence alone is needed, in order to have a configuration of a Beis Din, it's got to be an odd number. If it's an even number, it's not a Beis Din.
So you see, in that Tosas, the two Teirut and Tos are saying this shtickle Torah.
Smicha also, according to Tos, goes in line with that second Teirut. Every configuration of Beis. If the Dayanim don't have Smicha, then it's not considered to be what? It's not considered to be, at least Tos is saying by Geiris, it's not called a Beis. Okay. Now that we have been Masber, this fundamental machloikis by Smicha, and the question at hand is how we plug this back into the context of Ataris Nedarim. It's interesting, we know that the Gemara writes, and Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph there in Bava Basra, it's in number one Makar, the Gemara writes that there are two tracks a person could do Ataris Nedarim. Now let's introduce what Ataris Nedarim really is. There are two types of releasing vows. One is called Ataris Nedarim that a Chacham can do. How does that work? The way that works, says the Rashbam, is that the Chacham uproots the Neder L'mafreya through guilt. He asks the person who took the vow, listen, if you would have known that you needed the oranges, you needed the vitamin C in your body, would you have taken that Neder not to eat the oranges? And if he brings out from the fellow that he felt guilty about it, then he can release him, and that's the lush of Hatara. Hatara means it never got off the ground, and the Neder is annulled, released, retroactively. That's what the Rashbam writes. However, there is a different track, which is called Hafaras Nedarim, which is a husband annuls the vows of his wife, and that is only on the day where he heard the vow, and you don't need any guilt. She doesn't have to show any guilt. And it says hafara. Hafara means something that is annulled without any rationale. And therefore, that's why the Rashbam calls it hafaras nedarim. The Yad Ramah in Baba Basra points out in Osamehe that a chacham, when he releases the neder, it happens retroactively. Whereas a bow, a husband, when he annuls the vow of his wife, he cuts it in the middle. And from here on, it doesn't exist. Therefore, it says a lashon of hafara, not a lashon of atar. This is what the Ran and the Rush writes in the Dharm. So we have two tracks of annulling of vows. Either hataris nedarim or hafaris nedarim. Now within hataris nedarim, there are also two tracks. You can have three hedyotos, three a basin of three. They're all familiar with an Erev Rosh Hashanah. That we do a Taras Nedarim. And as the Gemara writes here in one, in the Rashbam is Masbir, also on the bottom in number three, there's something called Yachid Mumcha, based on the Pasuk Roshe Matos. A Yachid Mumcha can be Matar Nedarim. One individual can be Matar Nedarim. You don't need to have a Beis Din of three. Very, very fascinating halacha. Yachid Mumcha. Now, the question at hand is, does that Yachid Mumcha require smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu on down? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shmuis in Perek Vav Halacha Hey. Rambam writes Beferish in Hilchos Shmuis Perek Vav Halacha Hey. Rambam writes, if you look in four, Rambam writes Beferish in Perek Vav Halacha Hey. They have Halacha Vav. Rambam writes Beferish that the Yachid Mumcha does not require smicha. The Rambam writes the Yachid Mumcha, the one Chacham that's going to be Matar Neder, does not require smicha. Which is fascinating. The Rambam writes he should be a Rav Muvhak, a one who knows the Halachas, but he doesn't need to have smicha. And the Ramah, and the Rashba, and the Ran and the Dorim, B'Shem the Ramban, the Ran and Dorim Chav Kimlov argues, and says that Yachid Mumcha needs to have what? Needs to have smicha. Very interesting. He needs to have smicha. Now, let's break it down even further. The Rambam again says that if you're going with the track of a yachid that's going to Matan Nedarim, he doesn't have to have smicha for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, we have to analyze this. What do we get through saying? We began this year that what's the whole nature of smicha according to the Rambam? It's a license to paskin. If you'd asked me, I would have thought the Rambam would have been the one who says that you should require smicha. But the Rambam says the yachid does not require smicha, and the Ramban says the yachid does require smicha. So we should know, the Ritva quotes in the Dorim that there are two types of chachamim that are not smuchim. You have a baki b'kola Torah kula. If the man is a baki b'kola Torah kula, then he can paskin on the Nedarim himself. But if you have a chacham that is only a baki in Hilchos Nedarim, he shouldn't do it himself. He needs to have two other people sit with him. So that's the Ritva quotes two shitas within to elucidate the Rambam. And it's interesting. It'll chap a tremendous nafkemina. Bizman hazeh. Could we go to a yachid mumcha to be matur nedarim? So you tell me. Lefi the Rambam, yes, because that yachid mumcha does not require smicha. We don't have smicha nowadays. So what? He doesn't require smicha. But lefi the Ramban, that the Yachid Mumcha requires smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu Adan, we don't have that smicha. So it's clear according to the Ramban that you never could have a Taras Nadarim by an individual Rav, Bizman Hazeh. Okay. It's interesting that according to the Ramban, you don't need smicha. Is it really possible nowadays to do it? So there is a Rosh in the Dharmak of Kimul Manaf and Taisim Bechairus on Lamed Zayim Rav that say, Bizman Hazeh, you need a Talmud Chacham of the stature of Rav Nachman. And Bizman Hazeh, we do not have a Talmud Chacham of the stature of Rav Nachman. So he claims, Tosus Rosh in the Taisus, Afil Bizman Hazeh, according to the Rambam, who does not require smicha, you cannot Matan the Dharm with a Yachid Mumcha. However, the Ran in the Dharm and Ayin Chesim Adays, Softi Ramaskal B'Yochid, quotes a Yesh Omrim that says, Bizman Hazeh, that there is no smicha, you can't have a Yochid. But he quotes, the Ran argues and says, Bechol Dor V'Dor, there are Gedoli Yisrael, there are Gedoli Ador who are experts, and the Beis Yosef learns like that in the Rambam, and that you don't have to have someone on the stature of Nachman, but you go to the Gedoli Ador who are the most talented Talmid Chacham of your door, and they could be Matir Neder, even be a chidus. What do we assume Ladina? Number five, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Halacha L'Maisa, Ein La'odom La'hatir L'Chachila B'makom Raboy V'lo B'makom Sheish Godol M'meno Im K'Nasa Lo Rishus. If you look though in Sif Aleph, we don't have Sif Aleph there. We don't do it nowadays, the Machaber says. We do not Matan Nedarim as a Yochid. This is the Lashon. Shulchan Aruch says, Leike Bizman Hazeh Yochid Mumcha. So we don't do it Bizman Hazeh. We never do it Bizman Hazeh. We never have a Taras Nedarim with a private Rav. You always need to have Beis Din of three. Now, there is one exception that I did find that I'll share with you. We all know the halacha that if you're Mekabel Shabbos before you've daven Mincha, it's too late. If you daven Ma'ariv, obviously it's too late. If you daven Ma'ariv, you miss Mincha, you'll have to daven Ma'ariv twice. But let's say in the summer months, let's say Shki is at 8:30, and your Mekabel Shabbos at 7 o'clock. So your Mekabel Shabbos, now normally you daven Mincha during the week in the city, in the office. So if this Friday you forgot that you hadn't daven Mincha, you thought you were going to daven a shul, you come a little bit too late to shul, and they're already at Lecha Dodi, or they're already at Lechun Aranana. And you keep going, and then you realize it dawns upon you during Kabbalah Shabbos that you had daven Mincha. What do? It's before Shkia. Now Kabbalah Shabbos is like a neder. So in the notes in the bottom of the Shmir Shabbos, they quote from Shlomo Zalman Zechatzadik Lebrocha, that you should go to the Rav, and it'll be Matar Neder. Because you're in the Kabbal Shabbos betos. It's like a neder. So you undo your Kabbalah Shabbos, daven mincha, and finished. And restart Kabbalah Shabbos. Ah, isn't it a yachid? Isn't it a yachid? Must be that in this situation you don't have time. It's too hard to gather. It's too maybe embarrassing. So you go quickly up to the Rav, and the Rav will be matzer neder. That's the one case I found that we will do it. That's, I guess, a Shas Adchak situation. But Lamaisa, we don't, Mechaber writes, we do not use Ataras Nadarim as a Yochi. We always strive to find three. Now, we left this Kasha still hanging. Why is it that the Rambam does not require Smicha for the Yochid Mumcha? If Smicha is a license to Paskin, aren't you Paskining? Oh. So there is a Sefer, Dvar Yaakov, who writes the following. If you look in the Rambam there, in number 4, Perek Vavalach HaZayin, it's on page 3. Let's read the Rambam inside. HaKrovim Ksherim Lahatr Nedarim. Krovim are permissible. Lahatr Nedarim Ushvus. Umatirim Belayla Beumud. The Gemara writes in Nedarim, Andafayin Ches, that the Beis Din needed for Ataras Nedarim is not a real Beis Din. You can do it with Krovim. You can do it at night. The Dayanim can be standing. Those are three basic prerequisites for a Beis Din. You can't convene at night. You can't be related. You have to be sitting. So obviously, you see, it's not a real din. She'ena heter azed din, writes the Rambam. He says, this heter is not called a din. So the Sefer Dvar Yaakov writes, I'll tell you why the Rambam says a Yachid Mumche doesn't require smicha. You know why a Yachid Mumche doesn't require smicha? Because it's not a din. Based on what we presented, that's incorrect. That's not a correct Hesber for the Rambam, according to the Rav. You can't tell me that a Yachid Mumche for Nedarim doesn't need smicha because it's not a din. So what? It's not a din. According to the Rambam, smicha is a license for paskin. It has nothing to do with the din of Beis Din. You follow what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the concept of a Beis Din. It's a license for paskin. And push a shot for personal terms of sack. So shouldn't you require smicha? So we have to come up with a different hesber. Why the Yachid Mumcha for the Rambam does not require smicha? The Hesber perhaps is as follows. That there's a third level. Number one, there's a Beis Din. Certain matters need a Beis Din. Number two, there's a category called Psak, which doesn't need a Beis Din. And number three, there's a lower level that we'll call a Gilui Mitzias. It reveals the facts of the matter. But it's not registered as a real what? As a real psak. You have to be talented, of course, but you have to bring the guilt out of the party that he was guilty or she was guilty, felt bad about taking the netter, and therefore you release it. It's a gilui of mitzias. If it is a gilui of mitzias, then we could suggest now the Rambam will say you don't need smicha. Not because it's not a din. That doesn't mean anything according to the Rambam of Shah. Because smicha is a what? Is a license to pasuk. Aren't you pasuk? The Teretz says no, you're not pasuk. It's just a gilui of mitzias. The gilui of mitzias, on that you don't need smicha. I'll give you an example. There is a very big machloikis between Rabbi Kiveger and the Nachal Yitzchak. When you do Ataras Nedarim, can you have four fellows be the Dayanim? Rabbi Kiveger has a long tshuva here in Siman Ayin Gimel, it's in number 7, where he postulates that four Dayanim are acceptable for Ataras Nedarim. There is no chisaron of a Beis Din Shakal. You don't need an odd number. An even number is acceptable. And the Nachal Yitzchak argues in the Tshuvas and claims that he's wrong in Chelik Beis. The Nachal Yitzchak paskins Choshen Mishpat Simen Gimel Sif Dalet. He argues on the Rebbe Kiveger and he claims that it is not acceptable at all, none whatsoever. That you cannot have four on the Dayanim, you need three. What are they arguing about? obviously the Nachal Yitzchak held, like Tosis holds in Baba Basra, that there's a requirement of a Beis Din Shokel. You cannot have an even number. You have to have an odd number. Because there is a shade or echoes of a real Beis Din when you engage in a Taras Nedarim. Therefore, Tosis says you cannot have a Beis Din Shokel. You need an odd number. However, the Rambam and Rabbi Kiveger would respond, it's not a din. It's just a gilui metzias. It's not even a horah. And therefore, four nedarim, four dayanim, would be just as acceptable without a doubt. Because it's not considered to be a halacha of a din, and we're saying it's not even a horah. And that is why the Rambam would say you don't even need smicha. It's a big machlaikis. See, even according to Tosfos, who says that the Gemara says it's good Belila, the Gemara writes black on white. It's good Belila, it's good with the Dayanim standing, it's good with Krovin. That shows it's not a real, everyone's going to be Masa, it's not a real Beis Din. The question is it a quasi-Beis Din? The Rashbam has a Lashon that the Yachid Mincha is ke-Beis Din. And Tosis obviously held that it is a quasi-Beis Din, therefore you should have an odd number. But the Rambam will deny, and the Kiveger will deny, no, it's not. Those three dinim show it's not a Beis Din. And we're suggesting it's not even a hurrah, it's just a gilui metzias. The fact you can do it at night, and with krovim, and they can stand, what does that indicate to you? So that indicates to you that it's not considered to be a din at all, according to the Rambam and Rabbi Kiveger, and four dayanim would be acceptable. As a good example to this, there is a din in the Mishnah Megillah. Mishnah Megillah, and the Mishnah has in Sanhedrin, that when you need to assess and evaluate how much a piece of real estate is worth, or how much a human being is worth, because they've done erkin, they have promised or pledged their worth to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah writes you need nine men plus a kohen to do the assessing how much it's worth, to evaluate. And that is 10. That is 10 people. So if you look back at number 9, please. If you look at number 9, Tosis in Megillah asks, Asara Kohanim Fule, Koshili, Amai lo boy achadasar, dein bezdin shokel bechol dovrishu tolui shomim v'shikol das. Tosis asks, Koshili, he says, I don't understand why you don't require 11. You need an odd number. They have to figure out how much the kark is worth. And Tosis leaves it as a kasha. So if you look at number 10 in the Rashba, let's see what the Rashba writes. Rashba says, Ubekarkos tisha v'koin hikshi ha-rabin ha-chonon da-havalan la-tzruchi ha-chorasar kichol bezdin shol-momon shol-nafosos domrein bezdin shokol mosifin olein odechad also lo bekushin. He asks, you should have 11, and he leaves it as a kasha. The li nira, the shiny hacha, shepor lecha akas of asara kohanim beparsha. Here the Torah delineated 10 kohanim beparsha. The ilu kain havel lemichtav acharasar. It's a din, you have to have 10. If you need 11, you should require 11. The Torah would have said it. Ve'inu domu l'mashomer b'reish perik ro'u be'ezim Rosh Hashanah. HaChodesh Ezeh Lechem, Rosh Chodesh, and Beis Din Shokel, Mosif Alem, Od Echad. It's not like a Beis Din by Kiddush Chodesh where you need 3. Ba'avachav Dechsiv, Yom HaShem HaMoshe, Ve'el Aron, Zeh Eino Poret, Lefi Shadibur, Eino Ela Imohen, Ve'in Kan Mokum Lahaskar HaShlishi, El Asamach Al Adover Yedua Shein Beis Din Shokel. We know you need an odd number. Aval Kan. Here's the key line, the punch line. If the Torah already is delineating a number, it should have said 11. V'lamashiru. Why did it leave out 11? So it must be you don't need 11. And there's the punchline. What is the reasoning of the matter? This is not a psak. This is an evaluation. This is an evaluation of how much you need. How much the land is worth, how much the human being is worth. It's not considered to be a psak, and therefore there is no problem in having an even number. It's like we said, that if the function of Beis Din is that they're not paskin, their presence alone is needed, then it's possible to suggest that you wouldn't need an odd number. An even number would suffice. That's what one Teretz in Tosa and Yevamah said, we said regarding Chalitza. But Tosa said, the bottom line is that they are paskin. Every step of the way in Chalitza, they're paskin according to a certain stage in the Gemara. A certain issue that came up in the Gemara. But if clearly they're not paskining, then we would say it's what? Then we would say that you could have even an even number. So the Rashba writes, that's why an even number 10 is acceptable. It's a shuma. I don't know if you ever heard of this. Some people buy, also after Ataris Nadarim, they do Ataris Nidui on Erev Yom Kippur, on Erev Rosh Hashanah. They get 10 guys around, 10, based on the Gemara Nadarim, and they say, Mutalach, Mutalach, get you out of Nidui. That's 10 again. How do you have 10? That's an even number. The answer is also, it's a Gilui Mitzias. They're not paskening. So you could even have a Beis Din Shakal. The Gemara has Beferish, a case in the Darim, on Daf Zion, that they have 10 people that are matar a guy out of Nidui. So many people have a minute after they do a Taras Adam in front of 3, they also do a Taras Nidui. Each guy gets up and says, and we say, Mutalach, 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 3 times. If a person had done an Aveira, that would be subject to a Chiv Nidui. But the answer is, it's not a psak, it's a Gilui Mitzias. And this is why the Rambam would say that there is no requirement to have smicha for the Yachid Mumcha, and that's why Rabbi Kivager says you can even have 4 people be Matar Neder against the Nachal Yitzchak. It's interesting, if you ever notice the Nataris Nadarim, there's 2 art scrolls, one's right and one's wrong. You say Nazirus Shimshin. Nazirus Shimshin is a type of Nazirus, you know, that is forever. And Nazirus Shimshin, we know there is special dinim by Nazirus Shimshin, right? There's a special halacha by Nazirus Shimshin. Nazirus Shimshin, halacha lamaisa, has different rules than a regular Nazir, okay? The regular Nazir can't eat, can't drink wine, can't cut his hair, can't go to a cemetery, right? Nazirus Shimshin, and a regular Nazir after 30 days, Stam Nazirus Shlosh Yom Yamatan Neder. Nazirus Shimshin never has a what? He never can be released from Nazirus Shimshin ever. He never can be released from Nazirus Shimshin ever. So Nazirus Shimshin, there's no heter for it. So in one of the art scrolls, it says Afilu Nazirus Shimshin. It's a mistake. What do you mean Afilu Nazirus Shimshin? You're saying all in the Dharm you might have taken over the year. What do you mean Afilu Nazirus Shimshin? There's no Hataris in the Dharm Nazirus Shimshin. So the real Gerus is Chutz min Nazirus Shimshin. Okay? So there are 2 articles. I forgot which one has it right. One of them has it right, one of them has it wrong. But you can only, most of the Dharm are subject to Ataris. Nazirus Shimshin is not. So it's interesting. Is it possible to project as follows? Which is a very big Chiddush. And that is, that if Ataris Nadarim is not a din, like Rabbi Kivager, like the Rambam were developing, would it be acceptable for a woman or a ketanin to engage in a Ataris Nadarim? What would you say? Because it's not considered to be a real din. What would you say? So I would have thought Rabbi Kivager was the one who said that 4 is good. That shows not a real din. Why shouldn't a woman or a ketan be acceptable? So Rabbi Kivager is the one in Shulchan Aruch, in number 8, where he writes that women and ketanim are still pasul because they have a psu aguf. Now, let's go back for a moment and ask ourselves, is a woman kosher to be a dayan? So Aiden, the Pharisee Gemara, their pasul. Gemara Baba Kama, and Daftet Vavon, Daftet Vechesim and Alf. Women are postulates. So what about women with Dayanis? So most of the Rishonim say women are postulates with Dayanis. That's the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Zion, that women are postulates with Dayanis. However, there is a Rishon. One Tosfos says that a woman is kosher to be a Dayan, and he brings a Raya from Dvorah. So we don't paskin like that sheet, as I said. We paskin that a woman is not acceptable to be a dayan. How do you get out of Dvorah? So you can get out of it in 1 of 3 ways. Either you could say she only said shiurim. Ron says she didn't really paskin. Number 2, the Ron writes, is that it was kiblu alai, It was kibbul olai, meaning it was an ad hoc type of thing, which the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin you could accept even psulim. If the two litigants make up a kinyan amongst themselves, they want to accept a certain diet, even krovim are acceptable. And the third way to get out of it is a rasha. It was a one-time thing in history that Hashem allowed a woman to be a dayan. So we paskin a woman is really possible to be a dayan, but there is a sheet that we should know in Rishonim that says it's acceptable. And these are three ways to explain away the raya from Dvorim. Okay. So it's interesting. So if we've just assumed, according to Ram Reb Kivayi, it's not a din hataras nadarim. It's not a din. So why is a woman and a katan not good? And Reb Kivayi himself says they're not good. So here, Rav Zhulti Zatzal wants to say as follows. The basis of a yochid mumche, releasing vows in the darim, is based on a pasuk of Roshe Matos. It says in Parshas Matos, Roshe Matos. You need a leader. Roshe Matos. And therefore, anyone who engages in Hataras Nedarim is branded as being Roshe Matos. And therefore, even if it's a Yochid Mumchor, it's three Hedyotos, the three Hedyotos have to be expert in the Halachas, but that is considered to attain a title called Roshe Matos. So if Zhulti wants to say that a woman in a Katan cannot be Roshe Matos. So like the Rambam writes in Nuchas Malachim, Melech velo Malke v'chein l'chol shar mesimis. The Rambam writes that a man can only be the king of the Jewish people. A woman cannot. And the Rambam extends it to all appointments of Svara of authority. The Rambam held as a din of tznius. That's where Rabbi Moshe writes, based on that Rambam, that a woman shouldn't be a president of a shul, based on that Rambam. And he writes that the Chinuch might argue on that, but he says you should be machmer for the Rambam. It's an inyanim of sneis. So in the same vein, Rav Zhulti writes, that's exactly what Rabbi Kivager is saying. You're right, a taras nadarim is not a din. You could have an even number. And we're saying it's a gilui mitzis. The Rambam would hold the Yachid Mumcha doesn't even need smichit. But it is called Roshe Matos. You are being mater neder for someone. And that itself is an element of srara, and that a woman is mufka from, and a katan is mufka from as well. And therefore, Rabbi Kivager writes Ladina that we would not allow a woman in katan in such a case. It's interesting that there is a Gemara in Meseches Gittin that says, Beferish on Hamid Beis, for the purposes of b'fanei nechtam, there is a din that if a husband lives in Medina Sam, wants to deliver a get to his wife who lives in Eretz Yisrael, the shliach delivers the get and must say before him it was written, before him it was signed. And it has to be done in front of a beis din. And the Gemara has b'feirush and heimid beis din gittin that a woman is possible to be on such a beis din. So I think Rabbi Ganach, shlita has in a sefer. Why is it, how could there be one Rishon, which we mentioned, which we don't paskin like, that says that a woman is acceptable for Dayanus? The Gemara writes, Beferish is possible. How could there be a Rishon that say a woman is kosher when the Gemara writes black and white and getting on a hammer base that a woman is possible? So what's the teretz? So Rabbi Ganach wants to say, well, what's the function of that beis din, based on what the Rav presented? What's the function of a beis din that hears the words b'fan and nechto fan? Are they passing? No. Their presence alone is needed. Now let me ask you, of the two tracks of beis din, whether they're passing or whether their presence alone is needed, which one do you think is more an element of struggle? Exactly. I would definitely agree with that. Because they're not passing, but your presence alone is needed. If that's an element of swallowing, then a woman's mufkah for that. And therefore, that's why that one Rishon that says a woman's kashrut of Dayanus would say, if they're paskin, if she knows how to paskin, then why not? But if the issue of swallow, then we're hesitant that Atzinus based on that Rama. And therefore, that's how you answer that remark. So it would come out that according to what Rav Zhulti is saying, that by Hataras Nedarim there's a mandate of Roshe Matos, that also has an element of Sroratu, despite the fact that it's not a din, despite the fact that it's not what? a hora, a psak, but it's simply a gilui metzias, but it has that title to it called Rosh Matis. So an ishin, a katan, would be mufka from that. Okay? Let's just close with the following, and that is, as I said, we don't use the Yachid Milka, but it's interesting in the Parsha of Nedarim, Hataras Nedarim in Parshas Matos, it says the word Zehadavar. What does Zehadavar mean? Zehadavar means that we have a Mesorah. One of the 13 principles of Yahadus is that we believe Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi that ever was and ever will be. We must believe that. If we don't, someone's an apikoros. What sets Moshe Rabbeinu apart from all the other Nevi'im? The Gemara writes in Yevamos and then Tesemeh Zehadavar. He saw b'nevu aspaklari me'ira. He saw crystal clear, word for word, letter for letter. It says Zehadavar. Whenever it says Zehadavar, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevu was baspaklari me'ira. When it's Koamar, it was like the other Nevi'im. Baspaklari shenimir. Koamar, Kitzes Peneso, Kechatzotz Alayla, when they went out of Mitzrayim. But if it says Beferi Zehadavar, that's word for word, letter for letter. That's what the Rav commented on the Mishnah Novus, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, and Mesorah Yoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kibel. He's the only one that it says Kibel in Mishnah. He got everything word for word, letter for letter. Misinai. The rest of the Nevi'im were great, 99.9%, but it was Mesira. Through a Mesira, there might be something that might be lost a bit. But Moshe Rabbeinu got everything. And we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi, and that's what answers the Rav said the Minchas Chinas Kasha. The Gemara writes in Sanhedrin, over al divrei Navi is chayv misa. If someone transgresses the words of the Navi, you're chayv misa b'dishamayim. So the Minchas Chinas says Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. That means every din in the Chumash should be chayv misa b'dishamayim. We know that's not true. Shatnis is Malkis, right? Most dinim don't have a chayv misa b'dishamayim. So the Rav answered that and said, you know what? Because what comes from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth is not Stam Nevuah, it's Torah. Zikru Torah Moshe Avdi. Because it was Baspaklari Yemi'ira. It wasn't Stam Nevuah, it was Torah. And therefore, every din has its own what? Punishment. Some could be more severe, some could be more lenient. But it's not Stam over Adibri Navi Chai B'Sev. If it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, it's considered to be Torah Smoisha, not Stam Nevuah. And this is Masbir very well. The Gemara writes in Baba Basra on Daf Tet Vav and Aleph that a Yochid can read the last eight psukim in the Chumash. Why a Yochid the last eight psukim in the Chumash? What does Yochid mean? So Rambam writes, you don't need a minion. Rambam says you don't need a minion. Rambam writes, you don't need a minion. The Mordechai writes, the biggest Talmud Chacham in the Shul, Chosin Torah should get the last Aliyah. The Rabbeinu Tam writes, you can't split the last eight psukim into two Aliyahs. And the Rabbeinu Meshulam says, every time you're laying, you have to have two fellows next to you, a sarsur. Last eight psukim don't need that. It's a big shiloh what Yachim means. The Gemara says, when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah there, he said over the whole Torah and then he wrote it. The last eight psukim, all he did was write. Why? So I heard from a Shulman Shlit once, B'Shem Lamal Diskin. How does Nevuah work? Nevuah comes down from Shamayim and is filtered through your what? Through your Neshama and goes out. The definition of a Navi is to say over. Bori Niv Sifasayim. If a Navi suppresses his Nevuah, it's Chayv Misa. Hakovish Nevuah, so Chayv Misa. You have to say over. That defeats the whole purpose of Nevuah to suppress it. You have to say. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to first say it over, then he wrote it. But the last day Psukim was his obituary. He was crying. The Shechina cannot be shorer mitoch, el mitoch simcha, lo mitoch atzmas. Only when you're happy, not when you're sad. The last day Psukim, all he was a mazker v'alma. He was just recording it. The last day Psukim came from Shamayim, not begetter Nevuah. Came mamish directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the greatest kibud in the world. The Chacham Svi asks, I don't understand. You give the Chassan Torah, the last day of Pesukim in the Torah, either Yoshua wrote it, or Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it while he was crying. Give him Kriyashma, give him Aseres Adibris. Why this? The answer is because these last day of Pesukim are the closest Pesukim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The rest of the Torah was funneled through Moshe Rabbeinu as a Novi. Baspakari Meira. The last day of Pesukim all Moshe Rabbeinu did was record it. So Hataras Nedarim is the Parshin the Torah. It's the Parshin the Torah that is known as Zehadover. It was Baspaklar Yim'ira. What is it about Hataras Nedarim that was Baspaklar Yim'ira? Word for word, letter for letter. Perhaps the Pshat is exactly what we suggested. It was a Gilui Mitzias. The Hataras Nedarim, this Parsha, is word for level. It's not a difficult topic. Even a yachid can do it, and he doesn't even need smicha according to the Rambam, because it's a gilui mitzias, and therefore because it's considered to be what a topic that is not so difficult, then it was nitan that lended itself to zeh dover. Everything was baspaklar in the era, word for word, letter for letter, and that's what sets Moshe Rabbeinu apart from all other than the Nevi'im. So we should be zoiche b'zeshem that the Mashiach should come b'meirav yameinu, even though we don't use yachid mumche, but when the Mashiach comes, b'zeshem will implement this din of yachid mumche. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Rehersh. We'll see everyone next week again.